What's up, everybody? It's the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. I'm your host, James Coe, joined alongside by Alex Gelhar, behind the glass, actually, the whiz kid from Wisconsin, helping us produce the show today. MG Marcus Grant in the house, and Adam Rank joining us yet again, rocking a very OC, oversized flat brim Chicago Bears hat.
This is the size of my head.
No, it is not.
7 5/8.
That is incorrect statement.
You have a melon.
As a fellow large-headed man, I can attest to it.
It's terrible.
It's awful.
It is. I almost had to quit baseball because
one size fits all does not fit all. True story, in Pee Wee football in 7th grade, they had to get me an adult helmet because none of the kids
I weighed about 130 pounds in high school, about the same height. I look like a bobblehead. Listen, I could barely keep my helmet up off my shoulder pads.
While that may be true,
the fact of the matter is
your OC style oversized flat brim.
First of all, it's not OC. I think
it's
very 9.51.
Okay, the fact that you have all the stickers on there as well. First of all, props for that.
Should you not?
Well,
are you supposed to take them off?
You generally should take the top one off. I like keeping the hologram sticker on the bottom.
Is it, you know where to?
Anyone who takes the hologram off the bottom of the stick, that's not.
I feel like as someone with a large head, you wouldn't want the sticker that tells everybody what size it is on there.
Oh no, you want them to know.
All right, anyways.
In case they're buying you a hat for
Christmas.
Listen,
you're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. By the way, it's about getting to that time, man. You got to be drafting. You got to be setting up your leagues right now. I know a lot of commissioners out there are trying to frantically set up draft times right now, which is always a hilarious email chain to which I never reply and only complain about later.
You're that guy.
I am so that guy. Hey, I need those dates that you can't draft. I don't reply jack. And then it's like, oh, hey, we're going to do it on Monday. And
I'm I can't do it on Monday.
Can't do it on Monday. I'm that dude. Anyways, I don't know what you're doing, but you got to sign up right now, NFL.com/fantasy. You can do free mock drafts, which are a great feature on NFL.com. And then on top of that, of course, set up your league, set up your team, do all that good stuff. We've got tons of research material on there as well. I know a lot of folks are really starting to ramp up their research, which is great. Somewhere on the site, NFL.com/fantasy, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but we do a full team preview of every single team from a fantasy perspective. All 32 teams covered.
It's in the draft kit.
Actually, we're building a page that has all of them a little easier to find than the draft kit. And why don't we just say we'll give it a / fantasy team previews, Marcus?
Sure, that works.
Whip that up.
You know what?
Let's talk to the Wizards.
What's great about this podcast? The powers that be can decide these things.
I was going to say, it sounds like Alex is Charlie from Charlie's Angels.
Is that who I am now because I'm behind the glass?
Sounds like the pilot interrupting. I just want to let you guys know.
Look at the Wiz. The Wiz kid just dropping an audible right now. Okay, so give me that link again. It's going to be NFL.com/...
Fantasy Team Previews, plural. We'll whip it up after the show and get it ready for you guys probably tomorrow.
I like it. All 32 NFL teams are covered. And by the way, Marcus Grant and Adam Rank were with me when we did these. We knocked out all 32 all in a row. That was a marathon session.
Yeah,
we were there for 4 hours.
They called it the Fantasy 2-a-days, but it was really Fantasy 32 a day.
A day. Just
literally.
One day.
All right, let's get...
I'm bringing that up to the competition committee.
The competition.
We cannot do that all in one day. I hear it again.
So don't judge us if you see us wearing the same suits. That's
for all 32.
Right, that's really...
I think that was my biggest concern.
Right. Yeah, I know you wanted to do a tie change halfway through, and we wouldn't let you.
I did want to support some Duval colors.
Okay.
We're talking about the Jaguars.
Right.
I would switch to orange and blue when talking about the Bears.
Okay. But you didn't have a chance.
I didn't know. Didn't have an opportunity.
Let's hit the top headlines today.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news. Because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to have your kids, have your wife.
You know, instead of the top headlines today, I mean, we had so many preseason games that the preseason games themselves will be the top headlines for today. And, oh, by the way, we have, of course, a new news intro.
Yeah, props to you for throwing that thing together.
Thanks.
Which I got to say, we should peel back the curtain because for those that don't know, Co cooked up the Daily Daps drop. He cooked up that one as well. He has a history in radio.
I do.
Do you want to tell the listeners what your nickname was? Because it's one of my favorite, like, hidden James Code gems.
Oh, this is going to be great. I was the Korean cowboy because I worked in radio, and anyone who first gets into the radio biz, you know, unless you're Adam Rankin, you're a big wig, you've got to start small market. I started in Montana in a little place called Bishop, California, just south of Mammoth, California as well. And part of my job duties included spinning country music records. It was really funny. I didn't know anything about country music at the time, but I became a fan. Thus, I became the Korean cowboy.
Love it.
In those places. But no, it was
How was it the first couple of weeks when you had to sell the next song?
Oh, I didn't sell Jack Squat. I mean, look.
Coming up, George Strait. Bringing it home.
I took these jobs because they also offered me sports opportunities, and that's really what it was. But no, it's yeah, no, it was a good time. It was an interesting time in my life for sure when I was getting paid $18,000. I was always nice.
A week, right?
No.
Balling on a budget.
Yeah, that would be a negative. Anyways, let's get to the preseason games here, and we're going to start New England versus Green Bay. We'll start with Devontae Adams. You know, not terribly productive, obviously. 3 catches, 17 yards. He did have 7 targets, but, you know, takeaways here from watching Devontae Adams play, and we'll start with the Wiz.
You know, what I found interesting was that Aaron Rodgers actually targeted him, I think, 7 times
right.
in this game. However, I don't think there's any reason to panic or start overdrafting him. Aaron Rodgers has gone on the record before and said in the preseason and practice he loves to just throw it at the younger guys because that way he knows what they'll do when the spotlight is on and it's crunch time. So he knows what's going to happen if he throws to Jordy Nelson. He knows what's going to happen if he throws to Randall Cobb. So if he can, he tries to feed it to these guys to see how they're going to respond. And Adams had a so-so response on the field.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, 7 targets, 3 catches, not great. But as you said, it kind of looked like Aaron Rodgers was forcing the issue there.
Yeah.
Jonas Gray, oh my goodness. I mean, he just broke off an awesome 55-yard touchdown run. We know last year that he had a 200-yard game. Now you see this 55-yard touchdown. We know that that the starting running back for the Patriots is going to be gone for a few games here. What do we make of the backfield, Marcus?
I'm not falling for the banana and tailpipe again. It's just I'm not doing it. Like, I watched it, and I watched Jonas Gray rumble, and
okay.
he looked great.
He did look great.
Like, I'm not buying it. One, I mean, he's a bigger back, obviously, but he's
yeah.
kind of a plodding back. He's not a guy who's going to eat up a ton of yards on the ground. And then once LeGarrette Blount comes back from his suspension,
right,
Gray goes back to the bench again. I mean, hopefully he got a better alarm clock, as franchise Matt Franciscovich said to us earlier today. Maybe he got a better alarm clock. Maybe he'll wake up. Maybe he won't miss practice. But I'm not buying it. I'm not going for this again.
This is sometimes why I advise people not to watch the preseason. It's for your own good, because otherwise you get too caught up in the moment. You see a performance like that, and you're like, you know what? I think I'm gonna draft him in the 8th round or something cuckoo like that. But don't do it. I mean, Bill Belichick, he still hates your fantasy team.
#Belatrix. They are lying in wait.
He right. still doesn't want you to succeed. He still wants to ruin everything, and he will. And you know what? There's going to be 1 week where Jonas Gray, maybe it'll be against the Colts again, where he has a monster week. Not a lot of people will be playing him, and then everybody will pick him up off the waiver wire, and you'll never hear from him again.
It's not like – I remember Anthony Dixon maybe four seasons ago in the preseason. I think he led the preseason for the Niners in rushing, and he had quite a few really nice highlights. And back then he was going by Anthony Dixon, not Booby Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
But and I remember getting so excited for him and drafting this dude somewhere in like the 10th or 11th round. But the bottom line is this, though. The reason I see it as a little bit different, and Alex, you can, you know, jump in on this, but the reason I see it as a little bit different is we saw production from Jonas Gray last year, albeit largely in one game, but it was live action. And that, to me, is kind of maybe the difference between a regular preseason game where, you know, random guys shine out and what Jonas Gray did in that preseason game against Green Bay.
Well, I mean, the one long touchdown run was kind of on a busted play by the Packers. They just left a gaping hole, and they didn't cover it properly. But I think it's going to be – what it does is it makes us just keep an eye on Jonas Gray the rest of the preseason.
There you go.
Because if he is getting a lot more of those first-team reps and he is making good plays – it wasn't just this run. He had a couple other nice
runs. I agree.
But if he is making those plays, it might be interesting to add because LeGarrette Blount, coming back from a knee sprain – he's supposed to be good. He has that week one suspension, so a little cushion in his recovery. He's a big guy. It might not be easy for him to come back from that as much as other people. So Jonas Gray could potentially, not 8th round like Rank said, maybe, I don't
seventh?
know. Yes. I'm going to say.
How about 13th?
Let's push it up to the third. No.
13th?
How dare you?
Still 13th? Probably, still no, probably 13th
round? 13th round. Jonas Gray, 13th like, round? Never, not worth it?
I mean, honestly, you have fun with that.
I honestly don't believe it.
I'm not right. bothering.
But all just right. keep an eye all on right. it. All it's, right. it's worth monitoring.
New Orleans taking on Baltimore. Josh Hill, 3 catches, 40 yards. He's kind of been a buzzy name in the offseason. Rank, I don't know if you got a chance to see Josh Hill in action, but where should – I guess what's your analysis of that situation in New Orleans?
You know, people –
No Jimmy Graham.
I know. People are just expecting that the next tight end is just going to come up and be amazing like right. Jimmy Graham, but he just doesn't have that skill set. And really, you look at all the targets that are going to be missing from that team, and Kenny mm-hmm. Stills, in addition to Jimmy Graham, have left the ball club. I look at C.J. Spiller as being somebody who's going to pick up a lot of those opportunities.
Okay.
Brandon Cooks should have a huge impact this season.
Right.
And somebody like Josh Hill, he'll be fine. There'll be some games. You know, he was snaking some touchdowns last year. I expect his production to be about just the same. Somebody who you cannot really trust week in and week out. When he scores, it'll be great because we have some fodder for That Helps No One.
Hey, there you go.
Don't go out. I would, I would preach patience and caution.
Any takeaways for you, Marcus Grant?
For Josh Hill,
anyone on the Saints.
Well, I still like C.J. Spiller. I know he's banged up, you know, and he's limited right
Surprise.
Now. Surprise. I know, but it was
a knee scope.
It's a knee scope. It's not serious. It's not like he's getting reconstructive surgery. They're going to clean some stuff up. He'll be out for a few weeks. He'll be back. I'm not worried about him.
Okay.
Josh Hill. You know, I know that before training camp started, everybody talked about how Josh Hill might just slide in and be this big sleeper target or whatever, but
Sean Payton put everywhere.
But he also kind of threw some cold water on it when he basically said that, you know what, Josh Hill isn't going to step into the Jimmy Graham role. Newsflash, Josh Hill isn't Jimmy Graham, everybody.
Wow, what?
And so I think, you know, if you get Josh Hill expecting him to be some sort of sleeper tight end, I think you're going to be sorely disappointed when he posts, 350 yards and a couple of touchdowns.
Can I give a sleeper name out here? How about a guy by the name of Brandon Coleman?
I don't know if we'd mention him.
Simple sounding name, nondescript, but he is.
Simpler than Josh Hill?
Maybe. Yeah, I guess so. Brandon Coleman? Sure. You know who's got the best name on that team? Shontavis Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, okay. But Brandon Coleman is a guy, I believe, out of Rutgers. An undrafted guy, but boy, you look at the physical characteristics of this guy. I believe he's 6'6", 225 pounds. He ran a 4.56 40. Pretty good for a guy that size. I kind of see him emerging, possibly as a solid number two wide receiver next to Brandon Cooks. I know Alex Gelhar is a little bit skeptical of that, and I know that you're also a little bit high on. Oh my gosh, I'm dropping his name right now.
Who's this?
The second wide receiver next to Brandon Cooks right now is going to be
Marcus Colston.
Colston.
Yeah, Nick, I'm not like that high on him. I was going to say I like Brandon Coleman too. Somebody's got to emerge in this offense, and they can't. Like the thing is, I like Cooks. He's a fantastic player, but
sure.
I just think it's hard. It's people are like overreacting to the fact that they're going to feed wide receiver one level production to a guy who is not a prototypical wide receiver one.
But that's why I like this guy, Brandon Coleman. 6'6".
Yeah,
he's
6'6", 225 out of Rutgers.
Big body wide receiver. It seems to me like he's going to be able to fit that role quite nicely. Anyways, we move on. Crockett Gilmore starting for Baltimore there. 2 catches, 17 yards. Again, nothing to write home about. And also another guy that we're kind of keeping an eye on here, Lorenzo Taliaferro, low T. 12 rushes, 36 yards, and a touchdown. Is he the clear-cut RB2 for Baltimore, Marcus?
I don't know if he's clear-cut. I mean, he's the guy who has that spot right now. But I mean,
he looks like a touchdown vulture to me.
That's certainly possible. I mean, there's still a few weeks of the preseason left to go, and I think there's going to be some competition there. I don't know right now that either he or Buck Allen. I know how much you love Buck Allen.
Right I love Buck Allen.
I want to love Buck because he's an SC guy, but
sure.
I don't know that either one of those guys is going to have any real value. I think they're both going to be waiver wire guys in the event that Justin Forsett can't fulfill his duties. Maybe you get one of those guys, but I don't know that I would take a draft pick on him.
Speaking of great names, Javoris Buck Allen is definitely
solid
in
name.
The mix.
I feel that's why you were so hyper on him. Buck Allen. Like, how can you not like somebody? It sounds like a like if you had a Simpsons character
who
was a football player. This is Buck Allen.
Right. Although that does sound, you know, now that you say, if I saw Buck Allen on Simpsons, I would think he plays quarterback for some reason.
Interesting.
You know?
Maybe.
Are you feeling me on that?
No, I'm really not.
As a guy with as a guy with a two-syllable name, James Coe, I have a lot of name envy. I'm not going to lie to you. I like Lorenzo Taliaferro.
I'm clapping that out. James Coe. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's James Coe.
Instead of playing patty cake over here, I was just checking with Franchise, who's also behind the glass.
It is two syllables.
By the way, Franchise writes a great article every week called Committee Meetings, breaking down the backfield committees and what we learned each week. And he noted in this game, Taliaferro got 7 of the 9 carries the team had in the red zone.
Ooh.
So Justin Forsett owners could have a potential vulture on our hands, or that's just another thing to put – to keep in mind as you're looking at Taliaferro and Forsett as drafts approach.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because, you know, a big reason we like Justin Forsett is because Mark Trestman's down there now. You figure, especially in a PPR league, he's going to get, I mean, oh, my gosh, he's going to get a lot of work. But in standard leagues, you know, running back, every position is very touchdown dependent. So if it's a situation where Lorenzo Taliaferro is getting a lot of work inside, and you figure Buck Allen might get some work inside as well, it's a little bit scary for Justin Forsett owners.
I get that. I think that only really hurts them in having those monster games where you're like, oh, yeah, Forsett got me 19 points.
Got it.
But you figure, like, most weeks, let's say he runs for 60 yards, has 50 yards receiving.
Okay.
11 points from your running back.
It's not like panic button yet because Forsett did only carry, like, 2 or 3 times.
Right.
So that's nothing to say that.
That's
if he
good.
If he was there, he might have gotten 1 or 2
very
of those.
Good
but they do – it seems that they like Taliaferro at the goal.
I think they know what they have with Forsett.
Yeah, I agree.
So they're like, look,
right.
why are we going to, you know –
yeah, you're probably right.
All right.
All right, I like it. Miami at Chicago. Ryan Tannehill, 6 of 7, 56 yards, and a touchdown. Boy, he looked good. I mean, really, I was impressed by the performance of Ryan Tannehill. Alex, what were your takeaways?
I was impressed as well. Lots of times, like, you don't want to rate too highly into quarterback play in the preseason because
sure.
it's vanilla defenses and things like that. But there were some small things, and I saw some screen grabs floating around on Twitter, too, and it verified what I saw with my eyes. He was very accurate. Like, even in tight coverage, he
right.
was placing the ball where he needed to. And it was just fun to see that offense that has so many new weapons just march right down the field. Because Lamar Miller had a good run. Jarvis Landry got targeted. Jordan Cameron didn't have any. Greg Jennings actually looked good. That guy's turning into like a Frank Gore, just an ageless wonder that can come in and make a little noise. But it'll be even better when Kenny Stills gets back, too. I liked what I saw, though.
Are you laughing at Kenny Stills? It's all dependent on Kenny Stills.
I didn't say it's dependent. It's going to be better.
It all comes down to Stills.
Kenny Stills was a much improved wide receiver and route runner last year.
I know this is on through the airwaves, and you're not visually seeing
yes.
this, but I'm waving my hands at Alex.
Yes.
In a dismissive
right.
Bobby Knight kind of like that.
Get out of here.
And I'm rolling my eyes at his hand wave.
The thing about Ryan Tannehill that you got to like is that obviously he's still developing as a quarterback. We're talking about a guy who played wide receiver in college, for goodness sakes.
Don't do that.
I want that to catch on like the Jimmy Graham played
it
basketball.
It is. I feel like it is.
Oh,
I
it's there.
I want it to be
it's
one of those
there.
Things.
I feel like it's on the level. It's closing on Antonio
no,
Gates
it's not.
Played.
No, it's not.
No, I think it's closer.
Come
on. It's closer to the Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard.
Right.
Yeah.
It's getting close to that levels. But look, he's still learning the position. He was a top 10 fantasy quarterback last year. He's got some wheels, and he's got a lot of weapons, and I like his offensive coordinator as well. It seems like Bill Lazor's really utilizing this guy's skill set. So, boy, I don't know. I know I'm taking quarterback early. I get that. I've made that known. But Ryan Tannehill, if you're looking for a great value in the middle part of your draft, I love Ryan Tannehill's upside.
Yeah.
Yep, same here.
Me too.
And the running ability.
I know.
He just kind of glossed over it. That's understated.
Because he was a wide receiver.
I've been big on Ryan Tannehill for a couple months now.
Okay.
I like Lamar Miller. I like Jarvis Landry. But now, because everybody likes all these guys, like I have a feeling that it's going to be one of those things. Not even overdrafted, but it's just like you're going to love them and you're going to draft them, and then they're going to be just spectacularly mediocre all season long. And you'll be like meh. You know, I'm so afraid of that. But I'm still going to draft all those guys. I'm still going to target all of them.
It's funny because there's so many of those quarterbacks, and Matt Ryan falls into this category where the guys finish – numbers 5 through 10. We're like, hey, this guy ranked 8th amongst fantasy. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the season, you're like, I don't remember one game where he carried my team to a victory. Like, he scored. Remember that game? Like, I remember Michael Vick the year that he crushed it. He had that Monday night game against the Eagles. No, excuse me, against the Redskins.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Am I getting this right? Yeah,
you got it. Redskins. Yeah, you're right. He had like six touchdowns.
He threw like, yeah, he threw four. For like 800 points in one game. Like, I remember stuff like that. With Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers, you're like, I remember specific games where he was carrying me. I feel like it's a little bit of a Monday morning quarterback, pun intended, to sit there and be like, well, I can wait. I can wait on a quarterback because there's these guys who – like, you can say that with every position. Like, I get you, like, look, you drafted Adrian Peterson, Monty Ball, and LeSean McCoy in the first round last year.
Yeah,
you're
all
done. Of them, not necessarily McCoy, but the other two, complete busts.
Right.
But you're like, and I found, so you can find, like, if you know what you're doing, you'll find guys at every position.
And you know, whenever I say take quarterback early, that is not advice for beginner drafters, for sure. If you're just starting, if you've been playing fantasy 1, 2, 3 years, don't listen to my advice.
I don't agree. Listen
because,
to your advice.
No, because look, if you want to do that, the most surefire way to avoid L's on a week-to-week basis is definitely draft running back early. I get that. But if you want to kind of master your draft, if you want to be a little bit of an artist drafting your fantasy team.
An artiste.
You take that quarterback early, and then you try to figure out upside guys later. That's what I'm doing. But look, I want to.
It's the same thing with like going Gronk early.
By the way, I got to disagree with you with the Ryan Tannehill thing, because last year, yes, Adam Rank, because last year I do remember he put up a 30-point game. Am I wrong on this?
No, I think it was when he played Denver, if I'm not mistaken.
He put up a 30-point game, and we're talking about a guy who's very unheralded. I really think that he may have a few 25, 30-point games season.
I think he will be in that class.
Okay.
But I think but you were talking about quarterback, or Marcus was talking about quarterbacks that you really. I think Matt Stafford is another example of that.
Way overdrafted.
Where you're just kind of like, yeah, oh, I'm fine just drafting Stafford here and I'll be good.
No, it's. Right. I agree with that.
All right. I
do want to talk about Chicago's Eddie Royal, though, mostly because I am so dismissive of Eddie Royal. And yet I know Alex Gelhar's got a decent projection for this guy. Give me a stats projection, Alex Gelhar, on Eddie Royal and why you like him, especially given the Kevin White injury.
Well, I think Kevin White really bumps him up. Last time he was with Cutler, he had 91 catches, like 980 yards, 5 touchdowns. That was as a rookie when he was in Denver. They paid him a bunch of money. He's going to fit into the slot. And with Kevin White out now, Royal will probably line up on the outside when they go too wide as well. He's shifty. He can work in that intermediate route. Cutler, actually, he's got a cannon arm, but he throws a lot of passes still close to the line of scrimmage. And I think Eddie Royal could push 1,000 yards this year and maybe pick up, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7 scores.
So I'm going to go with the Schomburg's finest here, Adam Rank. Look. They've got a new coaching staff there. Mark Trestman's now out, so their pass-crazy offense is kind of going by the wayside. Now that John Fox steps in, what should we expect for that Chicago offense?
Yeah, if you think about Eddie Royal, in his first game as a pro, he had 9 receptions for 146 yards and 1 touchdown. And since everything you can just be dependent on a single sample size, you project that over an entire season. That's, what, 154 catches for, you know... for 2,000 yards and 16 touch. So I think that's a reasonable expectation because he's done it once. But I still, you know what, though? Looking at what Adam Gase was able to do with the slot position when he was in Denver with Wes Welker.
And
Emmanuel Sanders. Jay Cutler has never really had a slot receiver in the Chicago Bears offense because he's always had these big, tall guys to go after. He doesn't have Brandon Marshall haranguing him for targets. I feel like Eddie Royal can be one of those guys who gets between 80 to 100 receptions, over 1,000 yards. He'll have 8 to 9 touchdowns. There'll be some weeks where he's absolutely fantastic, some weeks where he's a little disappointment, maybe not quite as polarizing as he was with the Chargers last year.
Okay.
A little bit more stable, but he's not going to be one of those guys who's going to be in a very elite guy. But if you get him, you know, if you're drafting him late as a wide receiver three or even a low-end wide receiver two.
Wide receivers I'm very comfortable.
I've been the guy here who has not been big on Eddie Royal just because I have seen him. You know,
did you not hear the predictions I just said?
I did. I totally heard them.
154.
I've watched him gobble up targets to my favorite receiver, my favorite fantasy receiver in September, and then when I start to jump on board, he just vanishes altogether. So I went back and looked at his numbers because he's never had a 1,000-yard year, but his best year arguably was his rookie season.
Right.
91 catches, 980 yards, 5 touchdowns with the Denver Broncos. Guess who is his quarterback?
Jay Cutler.
That's correct.
He's not going to.
He's not going to see that many targets. He's not going to see that many catches.
Yeah, why is he not going to see that many targets?
He's not.
They already have a slot receiver. It's not like they lost a slot receiver and he slides in there. He's going to be the guy already. I think Marquise Wilson is the guy who jumps in there and starts to see some more of those targets on the outside.
If he can stay healthy, Wilson I'm talking about.
Okay.
He's an interesting option, but still, when you look at the Bears receiving core, I still go it. It's Alshon, Forte, 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Martellus Bennett's still in the mix.
Right.
Royals in the mix. Wilson is far down that list.
By the way, just real quick.
He's interesting.
Let me just go around the horn here. Wiz, where do you take Eddie Royal in a typical fantasy draft? Non-PPR.
10, round 10, maybe, Grant? Top of my head.
I was going to say 9
round
at the earliest,
nine,
but 10 is probably legit.
Rank 10, yep.
That's in your wide receiver 3 range. And also, the last 2 years with him only getting, like I think I said last podcast, 67% of the snaps, he was the 30th highest wide receiver in 2014 and the 35th highest wide receiver in 2013. So seeing the increased snaps, increased targets, I think the writing's on the wall for him to improve that production and become a legit wide receiver 3.
Yeah, I'm going to pass. At round 10, I'm just going to pass. You know
who
why?
You
because,
at?
No, it's not so much that who am I looking at versus, well, here, this is what it is. When I get to round 10, all I'm thinking about are sleeper guys. And I know what Eddie Royal is going to get me. He's not going to get me 1,000 yards. He's
did
not going to get me.
Hear, did you not hear
he's
the projection?
He's not going to get me 1,000 yards. He's not going to give me 7 or 8 touchdowns. He's just not that guy. He's just not that guy. And to me, I'll just pass. I'll look for upside guys at the running back position because I'm crazy and I'm taking quarterback way, way too early. Kevin White, I know he's got that shin surgery coming up, or maybe it's already happened. I'm not exactly sure, but he's going to be gone for a while. The coaching staff even indicated that he may be gone for the entire season. By the way, can I just mention – it seems like to me, like shouldn't this be happening to Oakland? Shouldn't Oakland have picked up Kevin White, and then he's got this shin surgery and he's out for the. It seems so weird that Amari Cooper's really turned out to be this awesome. Looks like this awesome player in the preseason right now, and then Kevin White, he's got the. I really expected Oakland for an injury like this to happen.
Are you saying the Bears are the new Raiders?
Are they?
How dare you?
Are they?
How dare
Are they, though?
No.
All right, let's talk about the New York Jets taking on the Detroit Lions. Chris Ivory, 6 rushes, 25 yards. Gelhar, you had a good write-up on Chris Ivory, and I know you've taken up for him as well. Another player, like Eddie Royal, I've been amazingly
this table
dismissive of is Chris Ivory. Tell me why people should get excited about Chris Ivory.
Well, I think he's the clear-cut starting running back on that offense now. We saw it in the preseason. We saw it last year. He got all the first-team carries, and rumors are flying out of Florham Park that he could be even more involved in the passing game now. So where he typically lost value because he was more of a two-down running back, he could see more receptions, and he could just stay on the field more. I mean, they've got the guys behind them are Zach Stacy, like got traded for a 7th-round pick. Stephen Ridley's coming off a torn ACL, and Bilal Powell. Speaking of people who we know who they are, Bilal Powell is not going to make a huge difference in this offense. So it's Chris Ivory all the way, and they're going to want to run the ball, and they're going to be successful doing it with Ivory.
Rank?
He's starting to wear on me. Like I'm really starting to warm up to the idea just because of the volume. But again, if you're a terrible team and you're not getting a lot of opportunities to run because your team's behind so much, that really hurts his value.
All right, Amir Abdullah, I know – oh, my goodness. The hype train has left the station. We just saw Amir Abdullah go in our – we have a League of Leagues fantasy draft where we have to do a supplemental draft, and it's an auction-style draft. What did Amir go for? He went for like $1 million.
I bought him for Damashek, and he went for $64.
$64.
So that's the same price, though, because Todd Gurley also went for $64.
And let me tell you about the League of Leagues. It's a three-sport – fantasy league where you got to play all three, and whoever has the most points after 2 seasons of all 3 sports, we're talking baseball, basketball, football, wins the entire league. All right. Every off season we do a supplemental draft. You have $100 for 2 years. You have $100. Ameer Abdullah went for 67. Todd Gurley went for
64.
64. Todd Gurley went for 64.
How does that work?
64.
Well, we don't know.
And Melvin Gordon went for 64.
63.
How does that even work? So you don't have money to bid on free agents during the season?
No, no. During the regular season, you just pick up.
Standard waiver.
Yeah, yeah. But
yeah,
this is for off-season supplement, whatever. Anyways, the bottom line is, inside and the guys who work this League of Leagues, I mean, these guys are truly insiders when it comes to fantasy. I mean, we're talking about the cream of the crop in terms of fantasy guys here. And they really valued Ameer Abdullah extremely high. Joik Bell is just... he's just fallen to the wayside. Forget about Joik Bell. Ameer Abdullah, seven runs, 67 yards, and he looked amazing.
He looked great.
Yeah.
I was going to say, there's two reasons why I bid so much. Sorry to cut you off, Mark. Because Sheck had me tap in and bid for him on this team, and I pushed it up that high. Was because, one, Sheck had terrible running.
His running backs were busted.
He had Le'Veon Bell not playing for the first couple weeks. No, great. I'm saying, he had Le'Veon Bell, Dree Archer, and Bishop Sankey.
Those are his.
None of them are going to start week one. That's right, David Cobb. Anyway, so he really needed a running back, and when Gurley and Melvin Gordon went that high, I had to buy in on Abdullah because he did look amazing. Now the cat's out of the bag. I don't think I like Joik Bell. He's been a great player for them for a long time. I think they're going to be hard pressed to start handing the ball off to Joik Bell when they have somebody as dynamic as Ameer Abdullah waiting in the backfield.
What round are you taking him? Because, you know, I think before the preseason, before we actually got to see him go, I was seeing him consistently going in the ninth or later. I think
those heady days.
Man. Oh boy, where is he going?
Heady days of a week ago.
Yeah.
Where is he going now in your mind, Alex?
Well, I think if you want him now, you're going to have to reach as high as potentially the fourth round.
I would agree.
Fifth round.
Yep. I would agree with that.
Like in the celebrity league that Fabs hosts, I was there helping him out, and Michelle Beadle, at someone of my urging because she wanted to make a surprise pick, took him in the sixth round, and the room exploded.
Scott Porter wanted to get up and fight Gelhard.
Yeah, I think my chances of being friends with Scott Porter went out the window.
Because they wanted to draft him?
Yes.
He was
Fabs,
oh, he's
MJD,
also,
well, he's from Nebraska.
He was going to take his Denver Broncos wide receiver gloves and beat you about the head and neck with it.
All right, let's just say you're in a league, an experts league, Ameer Abdullah. Again, some of these rookies and unknown guys are going to go later in general public leagues. I get that. But let's say you're in a very competitive league. Marcus Grant, let's say a fourth round's coming around near the end of let's say you're near the back half of the fourth round there. Ameer Abdullah in that spot, late fourth. I mean, it sounds crazy to be taking him that high, but I don't know now.
Does it, though?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know now.
Look, this is the guy who, 2 weeks ago on the same podcast, was still riding for Joik Bell, but now I look around and I see the hype. I watch the tape, and I'm like, how do I not? How do you not take Ameer Abdullah if he's sitting there for you in the fourth round?
It wasn't just his one big
one.
It was a shorter one. He had a 4-yard
run
where he just made some guy whiff in between the tackles.
What's interesting is that you heard some slight comparisons to Barry Sanders and just in terms of his ability to make people miss and his ability to just stop and cut on a dime.
Yeah.
There's a lot of similarities there.
And you think about that offense, too. I mean, what are you going to do? You're really going to stack the box against against Calvin Johnson? No.
And Golden Tate? No.
Golden Tate? No, you're not going to do that. So Ameer Abdullah is going to be looking at, six, seven-man boxes. Man, fourth round. I think I'd pull the trigger in the fourth round.
Yeah, I feel comfortable with it as well. And I will say our great colleagues at Around the NFL – in a write-up about after they watched Ameer Abdullah, talked about how this offense, that it could be like the missing piece to really help that offense because there's always been so much talent, get to the next level. I don't want to get too crazy, but Ameer Abdullah is just making me feel a little bit better about some other people on that supporting cast, like Golden Tate and Stafford and everything like that.
Jim Caldwell, as a head coach, has been very conservative with his offensive play calling as well. So I could actually see them utilizing the running back a lot more. It's a big reason why I wasn't high on Stafford last year and Calvin Johnson. I know Calvin Johnson got, dinged up, but Jim Caldwell's so conservative with his play calling too. So you could kind of see them feeding the running back position a heck of a lot more. I see Adam Rank shaking his head.
No, I agree. I agree with all that. And if you're one of those people who is a zero RB guy who's not going to go running back in the first two rounds, all the mocks that I'm doing, I just earmark them for the fourth round.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not even a consideration for me so much. And it's really one of those things. The only ones I'm trying to keep the pieces of the puzzle moving, I can't take him as my RB1.
Right.
So if I'm doing a Gronkowski in the first round,
okay,
I'm trying to load up my other two receivers, I'm favoring somebody like Frank Gore. But I think by the time the end of training camp comes, I'll easily talk myself into making Ameer Abdullah my number one runner. I have no problem with it.
I'm looking into the future like you as well. I feel the same way, like, because I'm thinking about doing zero RB in a upcoming draft, and I'm like, man, do I want to take him as my RB1? I'm like, why not?
Why not? And it's so fun to just go against convention, you know, because last year people got a little squirrely on Monty Ball and everything, and all they were doing with Monty Ball is they were looking at a situation. They were looking at a situation like,
right,
look, Peyton Manning's running back is
exactly
always good, and you're like, well, if you watch that, and we talked about this at great length,
yeah,
James, is like, okay, well, if you're going to do that, why not take the running back who's better?
Right.
C.J. Anderson was clearly better,
right,
in the preseason, and
right,
this is a situation this year. It's not like people are hyper because it's like, you got to get the Lions running back. You know, it's because you're watching him. And then the people who don't watch college football are going back and watching some of the tape from him at Lincoln,
right,
and saying, wow, this guy is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So I it's funny. Like, I want to put this in a time capsule, which I guess what podcasts are. And it 3 weeks from now, we'll be talking about, like, remember when you could have gotten Ameer Abdullah in the fourth round? Like, those were crazy days.
What a steal.
All right. Let's talk about Washington taking on Cleveland here. Not much to write home about.
Nope.
There's no healthy tight ends in Washington. Jordan Reed moves up a little bit because there's just no competition.
I like Logan
Paulson on the IR. Niles Paul.
His name is Logan Paulson.
Right.
His name is Logan. Well, I was going to say Jordan Reed, like, he's basically going undrafted right now, partly because Niles Paul is getting pushed up and stuff. But Jordan Reed is an athletic freak, always hurt. He's hurt right now. But if you're waiting on a tight end or taking one in the 15th round,
I don't mind.
Grab Jordan Reed.
Yeah.
Why the heck not?
Or you could take Boyz II Men Chris Cooley High Harmony as well, who's also flirting with coming out of retirement for some reason.
Are you really going to take a tight end who's been retired for a
couple
of years?
Yeah, so is Herschel Walker.
No, like, but dude,
are you drafting Herschel Walker?
No.
Marcus, you're missing the point here. I had a good joke. That's it.
I did. Okay. No, I appreciate that.
Dallas taking on San Diego. Oh, actually, you know what? Let me go back to Cleveland here. The backfield. Let's talk about Isaiah Crowell, Terrence. I know we've talked about this at length. I don't know why. Look, Cleveland's got a great offensive line. I don't know how great they are at run blocking, but at least I know the talent is there on the offensive line. For some reason, and Adam, you bring up a great point. Who's the most talented guy in the backfield? I'm not 100% sure it's the Crow. Duke Johnson. Look, I know we haven't seen Duke Johnson yet, but for some reason, I just get a feeling that Duke Johnson, in the back half of this year, is going to emerge out of that offensive line and actually be a difference maker. And maybe take over a full-time starting gig for the Cleveland Browns. I don't know how crazy that is. I'm not really basing that on too much, other than I've seen him run, and in college, albeit. But I've also seen Isaiah Crowell run, and I've also seen Terrence West run. I kind of think Duke Johnson's got a chance to really emerge and be that starting running back.
ACC running back.
There's a chance.
There is a chance. There is quite a bit of a chance. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about Dallas and San Diego. You talk about drafting for a situation. I mean, everyone's trying to make sense of this Dallas running game. Where do you go right now, Rank?
You got to wait and see, you know, because we got all excited about Gus Johnson, and he lasted about, what, 3 plays?
He did.
Like, yeah, God, I was so – well, first of all, I was upset because they showed that game,
yeah,
Chargers and the Cowboys,
okay,
locally on the CBS station. And at 8 o'clock, you're like, okay, this is fine and dandy. Let's bring out the big brother. Because it's double eviction night. It was double eviction night, and I had to wait till 11:30 because they're showing us the second half.
Like, I mean, really?
People
are watching Big Brother still?
Yeah.
Adam Rankin.
Really?
I know plenty of people who are watching the Big
Brother.
Were
people watching the fourth quarter of the game?
Probably not.
I was.
I will say this. Melvin Gordon for San Diego didn't look great. And I know what people are going to say. Adam Rank, go ahead. He's got his hand raised in the air.
Wisconsin running backs, am I right?
Adam Rank and Marcus Grant just high-fived each other.
Oh, God.
Look,
Wisconsin running backs.
I mean, really, though. Well, really,
look,
though?
I watched it,
he
too.
He didn't look good.
That's the trend.
It's not even so much that worries me about Melvin Gordon, even though you are correct, he did not look great. What worries me about Melvin Gordon, the combination of that offensive line in San Diego, which is something I know Adam Rank has mentioned before, and that little guy, Danny Woodhead, who's still hanging around, especially in the red zone and at the goal line, to steal some targets.
That was the worst part.
Snaps.
Danny Woodhead actually got the goal line carry and scored. Or not goal line. He scored from like 7 yards out.
Right.
But Gordon is still very talented. I think he's better than some of the recent run of Wisconsin running backs we've seen. But if his draft price is really high right now for a guy that, from everything that we're seeing and we heard, he struggled with pass protection at Wisconsin. He has not done well with it in camp. I just saw another article today saying he had a really bad day in pass protection. Danny Woodhead is a champ in pass protection. He is going to get all of the third down work. So basically,
can a 5'4 running back really be a champ in
would you
pass?
Stop?
Hey, he's 5'8.
It's not the size of the dog in the fight.
How tall is MJD?
He's like 5'5.
But
and did you see what he did to Merriman?
He was good.
So anyways, it was amazing. The point is, just keep in mind when you're drafting Melvin Gordon, you're basically getting a two down running back, which is going to put a lower ceiling on his fantasy potential than a lot of people would like to think after watching him run rampant over the Big Ten.
I mean,
not a powerhouse conference.
Well, hold on a second now, because I mean, Melvin Gordon in the Big Ten had maybe, quite possibly, the greatest core of running backs in college football history. I mean, really. I mean, you look at some of these guys that are coming out of here: Melvin Gordon, Amir Abdullah, Tevin Coleman. We haven't even talked about Ezekiel. I'm dropping his name right now. Ezekiel
State.
Elliott. Yeah,
Elliott from Ohio State.
Right, exactly. David Cobb.
I
mean, come on! This is the best core of running backs maybe in college football history coming out of one conference. So
it'll be 2 years. Think of all the sophomore running backs right now.
Just unbelievable.
All the great guys.
So Melvin Gordon, to me, I mean, when you watch him at Wisconsin, man, he had a lot of moves. He had great bursts. He had good vision. He had good speed. And the thing I liked about him, too, is that he could I wouldn't say he was a pro at catching the ball out of the backfield.
He's good at it.
But he was good at it, though.
The trouble is, all those things, he was very indecisive in this game. And it's just
– he didn't look good.
He stutter-stepped a lot before he got to the line of scrimmage, whereas when Gordon was at his best, when he was able to read that line in Wisconsin and make one cut and
just go.
You know what goes in his favor, though? And this could work out for somebody if, let's say, somebody does reach for Melvin Gordon, gets burned because he's not very productive at the beginning of the year.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, last year, Danny Woodhead had some injury problems.
I would say so.
Brandon Olivier had his moments where he was like, really? Is that not it?
It's
Oliver. Sorry.
Right.
We're in America.
Right. Okay.
He looked good for a couple of weeks, but then eventually, you know, it catches up to you after a while. Melvin Gordon can be one of these guys who starts slowly and then somebody in your league says, forget it. I'm dumping him. I would actually be the guy who picks him up. Like, I don't want to be the guy who drafts him in the fifth round, but I would happily be the guy who picks him up on the waiver wire in week four.
His draft stock has to be dropping right now, right?
Or trade for him. He's the kind of guy like
that.
Hey,
here's a question. Who do you draft first, Melvin Gordon or Amir Abdullah?
Abdullah.
Come on.
Abdullah.
That's how it's going.
Look, what I was going to say.
That's how it's going.
Gordon could be a great buy-low candidate in the season. I did that to somebody in one of our leagues who was souring on Eddie Lacy early last season.
Yes.
I flipped him some players for Eddie Lacy, and I rode Eddie Lacy almost all the way to the
championship. In all legitimacy, was that me?
No, it was not you. It was in our dynasty league.
I'm like, no, that sounds like me.
All right, let's talk about another Big Ten running back in David Cobb, Tennessee versus Atlanta. Actually, we'll talk about two Big Ten running backs. Why not? David Cobb for Tennessee, Tevin Coleman for Atlanta. Actually, I didn't get a chance to actually see this preseason game, despite my man crush on Tevin Coleman.
Well, he didn't play. He was still nursing his hammy.
Well, right. So there you go. So David Cobb, what do we make of his performance there?
Well, I'll just jump on it because everybody knows I'm like piloting the David Cobb bandwagon.
Sure.
But So here's the thing. He came in against the second or third stringers, but he was the only one to like have real production. He's not the flashiest guy. He's not like a next level talent like Adrian Peterson, but he is a darn good running back. He can read the hole, he can hit it, and he finishes his runs.
Right.
I mean, not only does Bishop Sankey walk into the line of scrimmage, he gets walked backwards after somebody tackles him. David Cobb hits guys, gets extra yards after contact, and he performed so well that even Ken Wisenhunt then, remember we were hearing that they were going to do a running back by committee?
Right.
Ken Wisenhunt, the day after that game, I was sitting on Saturday watching game film at home, and I see an article pop up that Ken Whisenhunt said, we're not married to the committee anymore.
Right.
The type of production you saw out of David Cobb is what you'd hope a running game could do, and ooh, Cobb's going to get more run with the starters. So I was sitting at my desk, like, just fist-pumping the air that this is finally coming to fruition. It happened. I read the article, like, an hour after I tweeted that I hope Tennessee sees the potential, too.
All right,
so I think Cobb is on the rise, and I still love him.
So he's on the rise. Where does he go in fantasy drafts?
He falls. I mean, oftentimes I'm sitting there and I when you're doing these mock drafts, you don't have the entire draft queue set up there.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, oh my gosh, like I gotta remember that he's there. So I'm trying to pick him earlier and earlier. Again, like you were talking about taking people in the 9th and the 10th round, like after I have my starters, then I don't care. Like if David Cobb's there in the 7th and all my starters are locked in, I don't care. Like it doesn't matter to me. Like at the end of the year,
right?
Last year, were you proud of yourself because you got C.J. Anderson in the 7th instead of the 12th? Who cares? It's just that you want him on your team.
Yeah.
And you know what? All it takes is one smart behind to just come out and be, I don't know, there's a shadowy league figure.
Okay, got it. Go, just go.
It just takes one person to say, you know what? Oh, yeah, I remember this guy talking about it. Yeah. Especially, like, if they're drafting near you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, oh, because, like, in our experts league.
You use air quotes for that?
I was going to say, we got to point out that I use air quotes.
There's no such thing as a Damashek in the league?
Yeah, he is.
There it is. Then that blows the whole thing. We have a Team America that's just an. By the way,
I think that's going away.
That may not be the case this year.
Who's going
to
be drafted in that spot?
It would be Alex Gelhar if Team America.
The Wiz.
Yes.
The Wiz.
I will be drafted.
So are you going to have to draft last then?
Allegedly, which whatever, I'll take
that
it.
That is the worst.
No, it's fine. I'll take
it.
It
is the worst.
I can rub Fabiano's face.
It's MJD's fault that he's doing that. Okay, so but that works out better. Okay, so the Wiz will be in this draft.
Okay.
Let's say he's drafting 10th. I would be drafting, I think, 6th or 7th,
yeah,
somewhere in that range. But it's cool because, you know, like now that we talk so much, like I know that he likes a guy that
right.
I like.
Yep.
And you're like, okay, I could try to wait. I could try to play chicken. He's going to have, after I make a pick in like the 7th or 8th round, you're like, he's going to have two more selections before my pick comes back.
Right.
And it might be a reach and people might hoot and holler, and do whatever they got to do. But you know what? I'm going to draft him. And that's the one thing that drives me because like people don't make picks because they're afraid of people. Oh my God, I can't believe what you're doing. Like it happens.
Yeah. It does happen. All right, but
don't let that deter you.
Okay, so I know you're saying you're excited about the dude.
What are we talking about?
I'm trying to figure out draft.
Know.
I'm trying to figure out a draft round value for the guy.
David Cobb, 7th round.
No. Okay, Marcus Grant. Wrong answer. Marcus Grant, what's your answer?
Look, first off, if anybody ever heard the phrase, you know, downhill runner and didn't quite know what it meant, watch David Cobb because he really is a downhill runner. Look, I mean, he may get a lot of touches and he may eventually, you know, become the bell cow there, but he still plays on a bad team that's likely to lose a lot of games and is likely to be trailing a lot. So, I mean, he's a guy that I'm still looking at no better than a 4th running back. So I'd say, what, round 9 again for him, something like that?
Better answer. Wiz, give it to me. You're
in that
there's
area.
Nobody higher on David Cobb than you. You like him in round 9 as well?
Well, when push comes to shove, I'll probably reach for him. I have in several drafts already. But to Rank's point, it's a case of make sure if you have a guy you like, just get your guy. Like,
yeah.
Don't worry about the reaction. Get your guy because if you believe in them, you want them on your team. And nothing sucks more than watching a guy you thought was going to be a breakout.
Right.
Be a breakout on
somebody else's
team.
Yeah.
This is a real talk. I got a draft, mock draft up right now.
Okay.
It's in the 8th round.
Okay.
Or no, wait, I've picked 8 players.
Okay.
Somewhere like that. Here's the running backs you'll be choosing between.
All right.
David Cobb's available. You could LeGarrette Blount.
Uh-huh.
Ivory.
Okay.
Doug Martin. Tevin Coleman. The Crow. Vereen. Devonta Freeman. Arian Foster. Bishop Sankey. Ryan Matthews, Trey Mason, Duke Johnson, David Cobb. Like, who do you – you're like, no. You have to take this guy ahead of David
there's
Cobb.
There's only one I would for sure take.
Chris
ahead.
Ivory.
Yes, exactly.
You take Ivory.
I take Ivory over Cobb.
I'll take Cobb.
Ugh. God.
What? Handshake agreement right now.
I want to know.
I won't draft. Listen, I won't draft
there's
Chris
a,
Ivory.
Gelhar, I want to know. What did Chris Ivory get you a nice Christmas basket or something? I mean, what?
Did he, like,
I am just
light
baffled
a bag of
by
poo
this.
On fire on your porch? Like, why do you hate a guy that was a top 25 running back last year?
He's Chris Ivory. Look at the guy. I mean, see, I'm so confused. I'm so confused. You're a smart gentleman. How
and
are
I
you so high?
Be proven it, smart at the end of the year.
It is
how
a number.
How are you
it
so
is
high
a,
on Chris Ivory?
But it is a number one running back.
Man, all right.
I mean, I fear it because I just don't think that situation is going to be good because they're going to be behind a lot. But still, it's a number one running back.
I think, James, you are worried because Chris Ivory has the stink of the Jets on him.
Probably.
He was a top 20 running back last year.
All right. All right. We move on. All right. So just so the fantasy
we'll
people know, I am not high on Chris Ivory. I will not be drafting him this
good,
year.
Good. I'll take him.
All right. Good. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about Carolina at Buffalo. Devin Funchess very quickly. Any takeaways from Devin Funchess's performance?
He's still a project.
Yes.
Get a nice catch on the sideline, though, but we got to see more.
All right. New York Giants versus Cincinnati. A lot to get excited about for Cincinnati. We don't ever talk about a lot of tight ends, but I do want to talk about Tyler Eifert.
Please.
For just a second here. He is starting to look pretty good, I would say. We know that he's got the talent, but will the opportunities be there? Marcus, can I get a stat projection and a round projection regarding Tyler Eifert?
I think round-wise, you're looking at Eifert probably...
double digits.
I guess. I feel like maybe because I got caught up in what happened over the weekend. I'm watching him. I don't know. I was going to say like round 8.
Whoa.
Maybe that's a reach. I don't know. But he looked good. That Bengals offense looked good. I would say stat-wise, you're probably looking at somewhere between 600 and 700 yards, maybe
right.
4 or 5 touchdowns, something like that. Which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you consider the state of tight ends,
right,
it's not bad.
And the other thing I like about him, too, is the fact that I don't know if he's going to give you a lot of zeros on a week-to-week basis, which is kind of what we're expecting from a lot of tight ends. And because the tight end situation in fantasy this year is so up and down, to put it nicely, a guy who's kind of given you anywhere between 4 to 12 points a week and is consistently giving you that, I'll take it.
4 points. What would you do if somebody could come up to you right now and
yeah.
say, we will give you a tight end who will give you 4 points every week guaranteed in exchange for
I tell
one
you what,
stomach punch? Would you take
hey,
it?
Hey, listen, I said between 4 and 12. It's better than a lot of zeros that we're
I know, but let's say you get that you get the automatic 4 every week.
Hey,
MJD gets to punch you in the stomach
oh,
every
God,
week.
Hell no. By the way,
okay, what if it was Dan Helly?
I tell you what, if you had
why
if
does
you
he
had
want anybody to punch him in the stomach.
I don't know.
I'm just
know.
Asking.
Why
I'm
are we talking about stomach punches? By the way, if you had Vernon Davis, you'd take that in a heartbeat though. Last year, Vernon Davis left.
Yes.
You would have.
You
4 points
Bengals.
A week. I would take that all week.
Yeah, that you big week one against the Cowboys, and that was it. That was the last thing he did.
Literally,
it was
right.
so many.
I think
Bengals.
He had 4 points the rest of the season.
Oh, it was
if
awful.
I'm not mistaken.
But there was a lot of guys like that. It was like Einstein bagels.
Okay, I like. That.
Look, the thing he's gonna that offense is he was targeted 3 times in his one quarter of work in 2014 before he went down with an injury. It seemed like Hugh Jackson wanted to use him a lot. I think that's going to be the case again this year. He's going to thrive in the intermediate area of the field. And with, like we said, the crapshoot at running back or at tight end, I'm with Marcus. I'm going to take him a lot higher than people expect. You said 4 to 12 points. You put it in the middle, 8 points. 8 points a week, say, on average he gets you. He would have been the 7th highest scoring tight end.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, look, like
let's
I said.
For 8 points, but you what?
All right, no, we don't need any more stomach punching analogy.
No,
we got more games to get to, and we're running out of time
we're
here.
We're moving to slaps.
No, we are not moving to slaps. We're moving to Pittsburgh taking on Jacksonville. We're going to where?
Duval!
Slightly delayed. I'm disappointed in you. Let's talk about the running back situation there. I forced you to spend a good amount of money.
You didn't.
In our supplemental draft on
okay,
TJ Yeldon.
You like to pretend that you did?
No, I did.
Will Leach was in that bidding.
He was, and then he stopped, and then
Will
I kept
Leach,
going.
Nope, Will Leach spent.
And
no,
then
no. Okay,
you kept going.
You're not correct.
Yes, I am.
Will Leach bid $49, and I said, I'm going to go $50.
That's not what happened, though.
That's exactly what
How much
happened.
Did you spend on TJ Yeldon?
$50 because
okay,
Will Leach bid $49.
Okay, well, either way.
You know, at first, I was a touch morose.
Right.
But when all those other running backs were going for $64, I'm like, oh, I think I got a little bit of a bargain. I have a guy who's got, okay, he's going to be better. He's gonna. I feel will be better than Melvin Gordon.
Okay.
He might not be up to Ameer Abdullah's standards.
Right.
And that was the only thing. It's like, because I didn't understand the way that this thing was breaking down. Like, oh,
there
yeah.
weren't a lot of like great instructions. It was just
there
got $100 and the auction
give
starts
bucks,
now.
And it was like, and the only other marquee running back below him was Ameer Abdullah. And it's like, all right, well, if you miss out on TJ Yeldon And you miss out on Amir Abdullah, then I'm starting Arian Foster in week one. So I did not want – so I'm like, I'm going to have to spend some money.
I'll trade you Alfred Blue.
Dude, give me Freddie Blue. I'll give you anybody off my baseball team.
All right, so here's my question here. I'm not exactly sure. Is TJ Yeldon a clear-cut starting guy? I mean, Shoelace was okay, you know.
Even Toby.
Toby Gerhard was lurking somewhere. Is this
Don't shake your head. Toby looked good in that game.
We had a full season.
He looked good last year before his high ankle sprain.
Ooh, the dreaded high
ankle
sprain.
Took him down.
Okay.
There's a reason why they spent a second-round draft.
All right. Rank, where are you taking TJ Yeldon? What round?
Well, you know what? In that fourth to fifth round range, that's where you have your choice between Todd Gurley,
okay,
Amir Abdullah, and TJ Yeldon.
What do you
to
think?
Be honest,
1,100 yards and seven touchdowns.
I think that's a little bit more. That's underselling him a little bit. But yeah. You know what? I like the other guys. I like Todd. I feel that Todd Gurley's points per game at the end of the season is going to be the thing that makes him.
Yeah, so
the number one running back that you're going to want to have on your team.
All right, so Gelhar, what do you take TJ Yeldon?
I'd take him in the David Cobb range, to be honest. I'm scared of that being a real committee there with, like, Shoelace getting a lot of work on passing downs.
Yeah.
Marcus and I weren't, like, in love with Yeldon coming out of college. And
I think he's a little stiff.
He's a little stiff.
Very upright.
So I think he might be coming. He might also be like a two down back, and I don't know. I just have reservations. I'd rather let him be Adam Rank's problem than draft him.
I would agree with that 100%. All right, Denver at Seattle. Ronnie Hemman, Monty Ball. Anybody going to push C.J. Anderson for that spot? And the reason we ask this question because look, I know C.J. Anderson looked amazing last year to close out the season, and plus hashtag Cal running back. But as long as Peyton has been in Denver, the running back situation has been just an absolute disaster. Have they actually found a foundational piece in C.J. Anderson? That's the question I pose to Marcus Grant.
I think they have. I think he's the guy there. I think, you know, when you see Monte Ball and Ronnie Hillman on the field, and I guess to an extent, you know, like somebody like Juwan Thompson or something like that. I think those guys are competing for that number two spot on the roster. But I think in terms of C.J. Anderson, he's got that thing locked up. He is going to be the guy, and he really can be a three-down back for them. I don't think you have to worry so much about C.J. Anderson coming off the field except for, you know, the occasional rest.
We're going to move on quickly. Sorry, I know Rank was itching to get in there. He loves himself some C.J. Anderson. But St. Louis at Oakland. I do want to talk a little bit about the wide receivers and tight end positions here for both of those teams. But I do want to hit on Latavius Murray really, though. There seems to be a growing gulf between expectations here for Latavius Murray. You're not going to find anyone higher on Latavius Murray than myself. I will gladly take him at the end of the third round. I know that sounds a little bit high, but to me, he's just so explosive and in a pretty good offense. I'll invest, and it's because I'm taking, you know, wide receiver and quarterback so early. I need to get a guy who can be a home run hitter for me. I love Latavius Murray early, but we're starting to see a lot of folks sour on Latavius Murray a little bit. Gelhar, can you maybe fill us in on a little bit of that?
I think the fear for him, too, is that with them getting Roy Helu Jr., it's the case of having a two-down running back on a bad team again. And that I'm a little less worried for seeing him again. He looked great in the preseason, showing vision, burst, and things like that. But, man, I don't know. In that range, like, I'd rather have a Frank. Like, right now he's going as the running back 23, right behind Jonathan Stewart, Frank Gore, and Carlos Hyde. I'm a little worried about Hyde, too. I'd rather have Gore or Stewart than those guys, or even Abdullah after him.
I feel like it's a course correction, though, because like Latavius Murray, like the hype train for him started at the end of last season.
Sure.
And we were really pushing
it. Oh, my God.
And so that boosted him way up. And now I think, you know, it's more of a course correction. That's not why people are down on him. It's just that he's coming back and settling in closer to where he should be.
And I think another part of it, too, is that other rookie running backs are starting to emerge and taking some of the luster off of a guy like Latavius Murray. I mean, we talk about Amir Abdullah. If you're in the fourth round now, I think this is going to be a legit question. You're in the fourth round, you're looking at Latavius Murray or you're looking at Amir Abdullah. Adam Rank, where do you go?
Amir Abdullah.
Boom.
Everybody's really excited about Latavius Murray, but it was what? Two runs. It was two runs against the against the Chiefs.
Yep.
And everybody's like, this guy is amazing. And you know what? He had some other games at the end of the season, didn't crack 100 yards again. barely averaged more than 4 yards per attempt in one of the final four games. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be concerned about. He was a first-year guy, wasn't a true – I don't know. It seems like a nice story, and I think everybody in their haste to draft a running back are trying to push this guy as something more than he's not.
The reason I think folks are so excited about – you talk about those runs against the Chiefs. I get it. But to me, it's not a fluke only because you look at the physical attributes of the guy. And you look at him on the field, man. He runs angry. He runs hard. And he's just got something else. He's got another gear that a lot of running backs don't have. When I look at that, you look at – I won't give you all the 40 times and all that, but look, he can run very, very fast. Okay, so he's a big back. He's a big body, and he's super fast. I don't know, man. There's a lot to like physically about the guy, and I'll start there. And that's kind of why I'm so high on him. Like I said, if I'm at the end of my draft and I'm at the end of the third round, I know I got to wait a million picks before me again. And as you say, hey, take the guy you like. And if I'm at the end of the third round, I'll do it. I'll just invest in the guy because, you know, I really believe not only in him, but also in that offense as well, especially now that they've got Amari Cooper. I just can't see them stacking the box. If he's looking at a regularly loaded box, I can see him picking up 4.5, 5, 6 yards a carry and having home run potential as well. That's
going
what I
back, really... You know, and going back, looking at the numbers against the Bills, 23 attempts, 86 yards, 3.7 yards per carry. But that's against the Bills. That's a pretty good defense.
Very good.
That might be more impressive than what he did against the Chiefs.
All right. So I'll take it.
Hang that in your hand. I'm still not taking them.
Tampa Bay at Minnesota. I love talking about Kyle Rudolph. I was not a believer last year. I know it's been beaten into my head that Norv Turner's offenses churn out tight end friendly. This might be the Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard storyline, is that Norv Turner's offenses churn out high-quality tight end play. We didn't see it last year. I know that Kyle Rudolph got hurt, but I'm saying even his replacements, it's not like you saw great tight end production last year. Alex, what's your takeaway here from Kyle Rudolph playing in Minnesota? And I know he's going to be a very interesting sleeper pick. He's got the big body, and he looked pretty good in the preseason as well.
I mean, we got to remember that it was just a couple years ago that he was like a top five tight end. He has all the physical attributes you like, and I think it's just encouraging to see Teddy Bridgewater in Norv's offense targeting him a bunch early. I think, like you said, he's still mostly just a later round sleeper, but if you don't take Gronk early, he's one of those guys, along with Eifert, that you can grab late and probably get pretty good production.
Where are you taking him? 12 or later?
Yeah, 12.
12 or later?
Sounds good.
All right. Marcus Grant?
Kyle, yeah, probably. Yeah, 10 or 12, somewhere around there. But can we talk about Doug Martin and
Please.
How I was like doing a happy dance, just kind of watching him? Like, I've been hearing for the last couple of weeks how he looks so much better and how he has this burst. And he showed it on Saturday. He looked good. I mean, especially when Jameis looked so bad. But
right.
The first, what, 4 or 5 plays the Bucs ran were all runs. And
I think he picked up 4 or 5 yards every single run.
He had some really good runs. Like, he looked really, really good.
The thing I liked about Doug Martin, the way he looked too, is – his lateral movement seemed to be coming back.
Yeah, he lost some weight, and he's supposedly the quickest he's been since his rookie year, which helped him a little bit. So
you got to get – I mean, because with that offensive line, they need – I mean, obviously, they need a lot of help on that O-line. But with that line, because it's such a project, if you don't have lateral movement, you can't necessarily be a north-south guy when there's no holes. You're going to have to create for yourself just a little bit. And we saw some of that creativity with the muscle hamstring in that preseason game. And I think you're right. I don't know. I think he's – I don't know if I'm going to take him in the top 3 rounds. But I tell you what, if you're taking a – if you want to put a stake on him in the 4th or 5th, I wouldn't say it's a crazy pick. All right, let's talk about San Francisco at Houston. I mean, how about Jarryd Hayne?
Yeah.
Can somebody give me a scouting report on this guy, man? Holy cow! Yeah. I know he's a high level rugby player, but that run that he had—the
description I heard, by the way, was the Michael.
Unbelievable.
Was the Michael Jordan of rugby.
Oh, hello.
So
okay, I like it. Jarryd Hayne for San Francisco. It's got to get Carlos Hyde owners a little bit worried. No.
I don't know. He had one run through a gaping hole. You always talk about other guys that have upright running styles. You want to see an upright runner? It's Jared Hayne.
Yeah, he is.
That rugby style. He's just somebody it's fun to talk about right now. Is like, you know, just a fun name and a fun story. He should make the team, but he's not going to threaten Carlos Hyde. The other guys on the roster, like Kendall Hunter and Reggie Bush, are going to do that.
Marcus, I know you follow this team very closely.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I'm not drafting. It's a nice story, and it was fun to watch him have some success, but I'm not drafting him.
And no one likes him at all? I mean, Adam Rank, wait, no, okay, he's shaking.
Come on, you know what, though, again, this goes back, when you're talking about Carlos Hyde, is somebody who I was really excited about last year,
sure,
but never really got his opportunity, and going into the season, you're thinking, okay, well, this is going to be a great chance for him. Unfortunately, I expect this team to be historically bad. Like the 49ers.
Wow, historically bad.
Like the 49ers we knew and loved like not so many years ago.
This is like some of your Ram bias coming.
No, this isn't Ram bias. Like most kids,
what are you saying here? Like a win, one win, two wins, less?
One to two wins.
Wow. Okay, let's calm down.
They don't know what they're doing. They have no idea.
Wow. So all right. So Carlos Hyde.
They got another guy got suspended. I can't even keep up with the amount of people.
The losses that they've acquired.
It's crazy.
So Carlos Hyde.
No direction. Like Jim Harbaugh, who I think a lot of people would consider bat crap crazy, he was the sane one. Keeping it all together.
Yeah, man. I think you might be right. I know I've soured on Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, he's still a great, he's got upside, but I think at his asking price, which is in that, like,
oh, I'd love him on the Cowboys.
I'd love Kyrie Robinson on the Cowboys too if they wanted to pick up the phone. But
it's a Tuesday, so that means we have some breaking fantasy related news.
Great, coming
in here. It is coming through on my Twitter timeline.
Okay, what do you got?
LeSean McCoy has left the field. Clearly, the tweet here, LeSean McCoy clearly holding his hamstring as he heads to the locker room. Non-contact injury during sevens. So
non-contact hammy.
So he was down apparently on the field. He has been helped off. He's holding his hamstring. Obviously, we don't know what it is, but I mean, Arian Foster's out. We have a dearth of workhorse running back.
Yeah.
The potential of LeSean McCoy being hurt for a while is not a good thing.
Oh, man. Rex Ryan was talking about this guy possibly being a 1,000-yard receiver and a 1,000-yard rusher. Obviously, you got to stay on the field for that. I poo-pooed the trade immediately when it happened. I said, look, LeSean, this absolutely destroys his fantasy value in my mind, only because Rex Ryan, I get it, the ground-and-pound style, but LeSean McCoy doesn't fit that offense. He's just not that guy. I think he's a very dynamic dude. Rex Ryan's offenses have always been very simple and not very creative, but you've got to be a grinder and a guy who's a tough workhorse dude to really excel in that offense. I just didn't see LeSean McCoy being that guy. I love LeSean McCoy. I love me some LeSean McCoy. I just think he's a good player, bad fit. And then you hear about this injury. He'll move down a couple notches in my book yet again. Still, obviously, a first-round pick.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Come on, dude.
No?
I was just going to say he's starting to slip down to the third round.
I wouldn't take him in the first.
Who would draft him in the second?
You're not taking the
I'm sure plenty of people would. Depending on what this injury is.
That's true. It really depends. Can we spend a little bit of time talking about other formats here? I know we just, you know, normally talk about, you know, standard drafts or whatever it might be, but I do want to spend a little bit of time talking about PPR and possibly IDP as well. PPR, for those newbies who are listening to this podcast, if you're a newbie, you're probably not listening to this, but it's fine. PPR is points per reception, and you can do anything, a quarter point, a full point, 17 points, it doesn't matter, but a point per reception, it kind of levels the playing field a little bit between skill position players and quarterbacks, and that's really what it's intended to do. In a scenario like this, running backs who catch, oh my gosh, they move up considerably. And I know Matt Forte in a lot of PPR leagues last year was going number one overall again and again and again. And it's a system that also behooves a guy like Jamaal Charles as well. Alex, in a PPR league, you know, give the drafters out there some guys that they should keep their eye on.
Well, you also don't want to discount. A lot of guys will poo-poo names like Julian Edelman or Jarvis Landry or things like that. Standard,
great call.
Those guys are studs in PPR leagues because of their high volume of targets and receptions they're going to get. And like you said, the pass-catching running backs, guys like Danny Woodhead, I talk about him being, you know, like a top 25 running back in standard a couple years ago when he was healthy. He's like a top 15, top 16 running back in PPR leagues.
It's the only format I'll draft CJ Spiller.
Yeah. those guys are great. So you wanna, if you can get one of the elite pass catching running backs, still it's good to do that in round one. I mean, even guys like Eddie Lacy catch 40-50 balls a year,
right?
But after that, load up on wide receivers.
Marcus Grant, any advice for the drafters out there of PPR leagues?
I think at the top of the draft, it's going to look a lot like it does at the top of your standard league draft. I mean, I think what Alex said has a lot of validity to it, that you are going to look at guys like Le'Veon Bell, Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, because they do catch so many passes. This is one where you don't have to worry about any sort of public scorn or shame when you decide to take Antonio Brown as the number 5 pick. I mean, it's a situation where Rob Gronkowski is easily a first rounder because of not only his production, just even from a standard perspective, but the fact that he gets so many targets and so many catches.
And he's just so far above and beyond the rest of the field. I think even now that Jimmy Graham's gone to Seattle, Gronk has really become the guy at the tight end position. All right, let's talk very quickly about IDP. This is independent defensive player.
Individual
defensive. Look, I've been playing. I told Gelhar and I got into a little argument about whether or not we should talk about IDP because I've been playing fantasy football more than 15 years. I can't remember how long, but about 15 or 16 years. I've played in, 50 leagues. Mm-hmm. I've never played an IDP.
Really? You've never played an IDP?
I've never even
met a manager who or a commissioner who wanted to play in an IDP league because it is so random. Whether or not these guys.
Props to Navarro Bowman, because a couple years ago, he won me an IDP league. That last game at Candlestick Park, he had the pick six. Actually, technically, I won the league on the interception by itself. The fact that he ran it all the way back for a touchdown was just crazy.
I love it. You do get points, depending on your setup. You get points for tackles and interceptions and returns and sacks and all of that. Gelhar, fill the folks in on IDP.
The reason some people do like it is because it adds an extra element of strategy and, theory to your draft, because you have to figure out, when do I start taking my linebackers and safeties and defensive linemen?
Obviously, J.J. Watt at the very top of the list on most IDP leagues.
Normally, defensive linemen are like the worst position in IDP leagues, so they just don't get the tackle numbers, and sacks are hard to predict and don't net as much as a guy that's going to get 150 tackles, but J.J. Watt is the lone exception. He is insane. He's like led IDP scores, I think, the last 2 years, and you can reach for him. But
You say reach, what does that mean?
I haven't done an IDP draft in a while, so I don't know where he's going.
Okay.
I tapped out of him because, like you, I didn't like the randomness. But for those that want to get more into it and have even more football analysis and discussion, IDP can be fun.
All right, there you go. I very quickly, can we talk about best ball? This is a new new fantasy format. The fantasy hipsters love best ball. I mean, absolutely love best ball. But it is starting to emerge as a more popular option. It's less, I want to say it's less stressful on a week-to-week basis, but basically, best ball basically just the system takes your highest scoring players, whether they're quote-unquote a starter or on the bench. They just look at your entire roster. There is no bench. It's just whoever scores the most points, that's your roster for the week.
Yep. And then at the end of the year, whoever's the most points wins. So you have a bigger roster. One of the best places to do this is MyFantasyLeague.com. That's if you see people talking about MFLs or things like that, that's where they're doing it. But you do a 20-round draft. The key is you want to get running backs early, especially because it's a volatile position and you want things like that, even more so than Fabiano Trumps for standard leagues.
And it's because you can't pick guys up off
The waiver wire. Right. Yeah, so for injuries, for being a volatile position, get them early, wait on quarterbacks. It is fun, though, because you spend a lot of time doing the draft, but then you basically just set it and forget it. And you can check in each week to see how your team did. If your team gets completely injured, it's going to be frustrating as hell, but it's fun to go.
All right, let's do daily daps for the week, shall we? The daily daps coming in hot this week. A little bit.
I had switched the board around, and when I put it back in, it came at full volume I hadn't realized, so I had to quickly try and adjust.
Which, hey, no, don't apologize, because I tell you what, it's the hot segment, Daily Daps. Let's talk about it. Where it's if you want to hit us on Twitter, by all means, I'm taking Twitter suggestions on Daily Daps, basically who are you giving props to for the week, for the day, whatever it might be. Alex Gilhar, we'll start with you.
Mine was, I was at a friend's birthday party this past weekend, and his girlfriend surprised him with a puppy party.
What does that mean?
For the first hour or two that it was there, somebody literally brings there were like 8 or 10 puppies, like actual puppies, Jack Russell Terriers, Yorkies.
I'm getting very uncomfortable.
No. And they set up.
You're from the Midwest. I don't want to know how this ends.
They set up a little. What? What is that supposed to mean? I'm a dog lover. They set up a little fence, and you can just sit in there and hang out with the puppies, and they'll come on your lap, and you can pet them and play the toys with them, and it's just adorable. And it was, I didn't even know it existed until it was happening.
Who cleans the poo?
The lady cleans the poo and brings the dogs. But it was pretty cool. So if you have somebody that's a huge dog lover and their birthday
puppy
coming
parties
up, consider a puppy party.
Okay, I like it. Marcus Grant.
Mine goes out to Marco Rubio, and this is not about the campaign or anything like that. But I don't know if you've seen the video floating around on the internet today. You know how politicians go out and they try to connect with regular people and do regular people things. So Marco Rubio decides he's going to toss a pass to a young child.
Okay.
Let's just say that the pass was not completed. And I feel like Marco Rubio has taken a lot of unfair heat in this situation.
Okay.
It was a good throw. It was a catchable ball.
Solid throw.
It was a catchable ball, and this child has, you know, just whiffed on it, and it bounces off his head, and the pass lands incomplete. The kid stumbles and falls forward. But I feel like Marco Rubio's taking some unfair heat on this because he made a good throw. On top of it, it's been a great excuse for everybody to go dig out the old SNL United Way Peyton Manning spoof again.
Like, he could have led his receiver, though.
Maybe a little bit more, but it's a catchable ball. He's got to make that play.
It's like a three-year-old.
The kid's got to make the play.
Somebody's presidential campaign rides on that. Not how you feel about Iran and that.
Right.
But how you throw a ball to a child.
Uh-huh. I like it.
Perfect.
Adam Rank, Daily Daps.
You know, I got a couple.
Please.
I want to first off to the young man who was at Raw in Minnesota on Monday night.
Okay.
He was wearing a Vikings jersey, number 69.
All right.
And I tweeted and I said, hey, wait. I go, is that guy wearing a Jared Allen jersey?
All right.
Or that was also the number that Brock Lesnar wore during his brief stint with the Minnesota Vikings. I don't know if somebody had talked to him or tweeted him or told him or whatever. By the end of the night, he had turned the jersey around so you could see the nameplate.
Wow.
It was a Brock Lesnar jersey.
That's props. That's Daily Daps.
I don't want to give Daily Daps. I take Daps away from RG3, who said he's the best quarterback.
Okay.
I don't like
taking
negative
out of context
Daps.
Slightly.
Right. I don't like that, by the way. I feel like when somebody asks you, like, are you the best quarterback? He should say no. Because he's not, and he should know. Like, if somebody comes up to me like, are you the best comedian? I'm like, no. Bill Burr is funnier than me. Louis C.K. is fun. I'm happy to acknowledge that there's people in my industry who are better than me.
I agree.
So I don't think it's wrong for a quarterback to do it. But my Daily Daps go to anybody who is not a sub-tweeter. Because sub-tweeters are the stinking worst. And I'll tell you what. Mike Rodak just tweeted out a photo of LeSean McCoy walking to the locker room with a heavy limp. You know what I did? I retweeted it.
Uh-huh.
That's all I did. I added nothing to it. But there's people. I'm not going to call anybody out, but let's just say one of these guys, his name rhymes with Ian Rappaport, has to put, oh, no. So he gets a bunch of retweets and his ego gets stroked and all that. No, just retweet the kids. What kid?
Subtweeting is when you tweet at somebody.
It's not like you were subtweeting somebody about subtweeting.
Subtweeting would be
like
you tweeting, I can't believe Ian Rappaport, no at rap sheet, does
no,
this.
No, no, no.
X.
It's the people.
That's
no, it's taking the. It's when you use that quote function for your own. No, because you're still getting the retweets in your sideline. That's poor Mike. He's got 45,000 followers. You don't think that he would get a little bit of a charge? 500 people are going to be retweeting his photo, that you got to step in and be like, nope, I can't give him the glory. I got to step in and take it all.
This is the crazy talk that that we are subjected to on a daily basis sitting next to Adam Rank. The crazy talk.
But
I'm with Rank, though. Don't quote it unless you actually have something to add. Like, that's relevant. Not an, oh, no.
Why can't you just reply and just say, oh, no? I mean, and then
exactly.
That part would get...
Just just retweet the kid's tweet. Like, that's all. Like, he's a hardworking kid for up there living in Buffalo.
I can't believe we're having a meta conversation.
No, and it's, you know what? But here's the thing, though, is that there's a lot of NFL media personalities who are very guilty of this.
Okay.
Who are very, and again,
I feel like I'm guilty of this.
No.
I'm not sure. I'm going to have to go back on my timeline.
Like, a simple retweet. Like, let's give somebody some glory. And, and it goes both ways. Like, I don't have a huge Twitter following. But if I'm doing the at midnight thing and I see somebody who's very exceptional, I just want to retweet him, give him a little bit of him or her a little bit of exposure, let him have some fun.
Quick question for you though, because if you hit the reply on the tweet though,
that's fine.
But it quotes the tweet and it puts it underneath your response.
Only if you retweet the quote. Yeah.
No, because when you hit retweet, you can hit. Do you want to retweet or do you want to quote tweet?
Right.
And quote tweet, people go like, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I'm adding nothing, but I'm just taking your hard work. That's basically what it's going up and it's saying, like, you know what? I heard Bill Burr tell a funny joke. You're still trying to catch the glory of the Bill Burr joke, even though you're guising it under the, hey, I'm giving him credit. Like, it's not like, because normal people be like, have you heard Bill Burr's or have you heard Jim Jeffries' view on gun control? Go watch it on YouTube. You trying to recreate it is awful because you're not going to be as funny.
So you we have to table this for a Twitter ethics podcast.
What is going on right
now? Late right now.
I can't believe we're talking about subtweet. Okay, right, look, my daily daps goes out to all the local journalists out there. I was going through over the weekend. I got invited to be a panelist at the Asian American Journalists Association.
Congrats.
Conference up in San Francisco. It was a big honor for me.
That's awesome.
First time I got invited to do that, so it was great. And I met a lot of great local news folks. That's how I came up, for those folks wondering. And it's a road that a lot of network anchors and reporters also follow as well. You do the local thing, and then you get the network thing, which is great. I really got a lot of local stuff finding that stuff for that new news open that we did. And there are some funny news moments out there. Antoine Dodson comes to mind. The guy who, Charles something or other, the guy who found the kidnapped girl in Ohio.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is awesome. But yeah, man, my daily daps goes out to all those hardworking local news journalists, because I tell you, it's a hard business. It's a tough business out there. So daily daps, all the local news folks out there.
And if they do
keep
something
grinding.
Awesome on Twitter, just retweet them.
Quote and subtweet as much as possible to the folks out there. All right, for Alex Kelhar, the controversial Adam Rank.
What?
And Marcus Grant, MG, franchise behind the glass as well. I'm James Coe. You've been listening to the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. We're out.